Okay, you know, today I'm talking about the value of a father's influence. And I'm going to be using a lot of the same scripture I did for Mother's Day. He established a testimony in Jacob, Psalm 78 says, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Lord, we come before you right now. There's many things we can teach other people, Lord. Be it finances, be it sports, be it how to eat nutritionally or how not to. But the main thing that I can pass along as a father is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you are the great father. You created fatherhood. Let us not turn our backs on you, Lord. Lord, we have heard today you are calling us out. I pray that you would reveal to each and every one of us the places of our lives where we need to surrender, maybe a little more, not out of fear. For your word says, if the Son sets you free, if Jesus sets you're free indeed. Lord, let us walk in that freedom and in that joy. Let us be encouraged today, Lord. In your name, amen. You know, I shared last week, about 3 weeks ago, my daughter had a baby girl. So she had a C-section. So Melody and I were up there babysitting our two-year-old grandson and their little lab, Max, for a few days. You know, so the day that the baby was born, that night, my daughter FaceTimed us. You know, and Cam is, he's psyched, man, because he hadn't seen mom and dad for 24 hours. And you know, he's looking at the baby trying to figure this life out. But then my son-in-law got on the phone. I might get emotional. And he growls at Cam, my grandbaby. And Cam is growling back. But I'm watching this connection and how much it meant to him that he was interacting with his father. And obviously they couldn't talk on the phone all night. He didn't want it to end. And I'm telling you, man, I got tears rolling down my face because I saw how much it meant to that young boy to talk to his dad. That has to be us. That has to be us in Jesus. And I am going to talk today. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to talk about men being men. We live in a world today. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about toxic masculinity. You know, when I was at Morse Elite in school, my JV coach in ninth grade, you know, Bill Hall, we were good friends. We would go golfing together. We had all kinds of things. He's also the football coach. So that fall, he had asked me to help do statistics for the team, and I was thinking about going out. So I walk into the school that August day, and there's Jerry. Who's Jerry? His nickname was Duh, if that tells you anything about Jerry. And he said to me, when you be a man, you play football. And I said to myself, I will never now play this game. And I didn't. Was it rebellious? Maybe. I love being the gym rat at Morrisville College, playing basketball more. But the point is, when I talk about being a man today, I'm talking about being a man. I'm talking about that God gives us different roles. Don't take being a father for granted. Maybe you're saying, I'm not a father. You're going to be a spiritual father? Because remember, we're praying, God, who is it you want in my life? Who do you want me to share my life with to point them to you? You know, it's kind of like when I was hanging out with my grandson, you know, one day we're watching this really cool show called Paw Patrols. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's really entertaining. And he just reaches out and touches my head and just wanted to touch my head. But I had to point him to his father. I'm not the answer for that young boy. Just like I can minister to people in life, but I got to point them to Jesus. I can't get a following. I can't take the role of God. And I understand it, that let's be honest, the devil's having a field day with this whole gender confusion thing. And I feel bad for people because the world is in turmoil. The more we say no to Jesus, the more we step into the darkness. And when I come across people that are struggling with that, man, I just tell them how much God loves them. I reach out to them and I befriend them and I'm trying to let them know. But man, I want to encourage you, walk in the role that God has given you. You know, I like what George said a few weeks ago. I mean, Adam, we can look at Eve and say, man, if she hadn't done that, where was Adam? Where was Adam? And that's something we got to look at. We got to look at men. We have a role, and it's not one is better than the other. But you know what I know? When I die and I go before the Lord, he's gonna judge me how I was a father. And I can't say, but God, I had Melody teach him at night because she's better at it. God's not going to say, oh, yeah, that's cool. He's going to say, no, I called you. And I'm not trying to be manipulative. I'm not trying to be heavy-handed. I'm trying to say, man, God wants you to say today, come out. I have placed a deposit in you. I want you to understand how much you are needed. Fathers, we need to proclaim Jesus Christ. Our family, our friends need to see that first and foremost, we're loving Jesus Christ. You know, the first point I want to make, fathers, we're role models, like it or not. I learned a lot of stuff from my dad. You know, I learned how to correctly hold a baseball bat. I learned how to do a level swing. He knew that there's times when I can get anxious. So if I was in the batter's box, he taught me before he pitches it, just wiggle your fingers. Relax a little bit, then get ready when he pitches the ball. You know, when I started teaching junior high, he taught me a whole lot of stuff, especially when ABW made the mistake of making me a language arts teacher 1 year. Talking about teaching grammar, holy moly, who cares what a proposition is? He taught me how to respect people. He taught me how to value everybody. He taught me how to respectfully answer questions. You know, I told you, this was a guy who died. Right when he died, he was writing a grammar book for junior college at Morrisville so they could understand it better. You know, my joke is that, yeah, that would have killed me too. But, you know, he taught me to respect people. When I asked him a stupid question, man, he wouldn't look down at me. He also taught me when somebody takes you out to dinner, order something cheap on the menu. You don't go high up on the price list. I used to go out to dinner with Pete Mayer. He goes, okay, I know you're anything you want. Quit doing that. So he taught me a lot. What do we teach our kids? What we're passionate about. I love the Detroit Tigers. They may be no good. I love it when they're on TV and I get to watch them. Hey, we had a good game yesterday. Anyways, moving right along, we actually scored some runs. But why? Because my dad liked them. You know, I learned what he was passionate about. Psalm 78, the psalmist tells us we need to teach God's truth. And we need to be compassionate about Jesus Christ. I shared it before. When I first went to Copenhagen, a guy in the church came and told me men don't worship, they don't sing. I told him that's cool. Then I handed him my Bible and said, show me. I'm sorry. Get off of that. God, excuse me, you're not God. People, the world needs to see us loving God. I'm not looking to manipulate you today, but every generation has to pass on the good news to the next generation. One of my crowning moments in Copenhagen was I turned that whole church onto peanut butter pandemonium from Stewart's and cinnamon crunch bagels from Panera Bread. Now, I would talk about that so much, and they would come back and say, how right you are. But you know what? As awesome as peanut butter pandemonium is, Jesus Christ is better. I want people to hear from me that I got a relationship with the living God. And I want my children to know about it. And I want my friends to know about it. You know, fatherless homes is a plague and an epidemic. I was talking to somebody recently, how many of the foster children come from fatherless homes? Mamas, you can't be papas. Kids need both. I know there's a lot that you don't have that, but you know what? That's where the church comes in. That's why being a Sunday school leader, being a Sunday school teacher, why that's important. We need men and women involved. Again, different roles don't designate how important you are. I think it's the Patriots that are about to retire Tom Brady's number. Now, he was an awesome quarterback, but I know you need a left tackle. I know you need a right guard. I know you need a safety on your team. So maybe you don't play the glamour positions. Like I said, in baseball, I was a right fielder, and I really moved my coach to be a religious man because he would pray, please don't hit the ball to Beaumont. But they needed somebody. And if you've ever, I remember once I played semi-pro for the Mooresville Hubs, and I hit what should have been inside the park home run. Must have been God's grace. Somehow I made it to third base. My man Tim Voss came up to me and goes, I have never seen legs move so slow in my life. He didn't have discernment because, as you all know, I'm built for beauty, not for speed. So there's certain things that we have to do. But you have to say, roles don't mean anything different. What do I have to offer? Yes, we're going to be teaching on gifts from the Lord. Who are you? Who has God made you to be? What's your passions? What is your gift? And how can you glorify God through that? What do you have to offer? You. I have been amazed the relationships I've had with younger people. Not because I'm all that, but because I've learned to listen and to ask questions and to be there. And I have been amazed at how God uses that. When people know you are willing to invest in them and to love them and to be there for them and to listen to them without talking, then it's amazing. God wants to use you. If you're in church and somebody's on your heart, just say, man, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. Hang in there. You don't have to talk to them for 20 minutes. Just encourage them. You know, in the book, The Remnant by Larry Stockstill, he addresses three types of father issues. The absent father. He's a workaholic. He's gone all the time. And the message that he sends is, what I do is more important than you. You know, we did a wedding up in Copenhagen, and Melody and I do premarriage counseling, and this young girl, she's a brand new Christian, you know, and we had to speak some truth to them, and it was so cool. As we met with them, she just wanted to get more involved. I wanted to be involved in Sunday school, and I want to do this, and it was just excited to see this young life amped up for Jesus Christ. But she married a yahoo. She married a man that went to play, and this, then I left and came here, would go and play basketball and leave her home at night. She came from the Rochester area and moves up to Krogan. And when I went to a men's retreat at Beaver Camp and I ran into him, how you doing? We're divorced. It broke my heart. And I talked to the pastor, said, what happened? He was a boy. He left his wife at home. He showed her me playing, having fun. And I'm not against you guys having fun. But there has to be a balance. So there's an absent father. There's an anonymous father. And I've seen this. Where you don't talk about the main issues in life. I was in fifth grade. My dad was an English professor, ambulance driver. He knew big words. I heard about the birds and bees. I need a thesaurus. Was it an awkward conversation? Heck no, because I didn't know what he was talking about. I could have told him some things, but I played it straight. But so fathers, don't regulate to mom. What are you supposed to do? One of the biggest places where I think Christians have been lacking, we're afraid of conflict. We're afraid when we see something wrong to go to that person in love and to speak truth to them. In love. We have to be willing. And one of the hardest things about being a father is, guess what? Sometimes I knew being a parent and teaching my kids the right thing meant they weren't going to like me. I had to pay that price. I love them way too much to not speak truth to them. And I'm just going to encourage us, you know what? Men, we have to be involved. We can't remain quiet in major situations. And the last father is the abusive father who is either physically or verbally abusive. And I'm going to tell you, be careful how you talk to people. Be careful of what you say. If you're upset with somebody, what's that old saying? Count to 10. Count to 10. Pray for 5 minutes. Then count to 10 again. Don't answer people out of your anger. Be careful when you're frustrated. I love these words of Jesus Christ. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to remain steady for Jesus. We live in a world of rapidly changing values and morals, and we have to realize that God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hell does exist. The Bible was written by men, by the Holy Spirit. It is God's ordained word. He made us men. He made us women. I can go through 50 lies that are out there today and Christians are dealing with. We have to remain steady for Jesus Christ. He never changes. And we have to understand when we see certain things like gender, and I'm not trying to beat this too much, that is the devil getting at the very root of God. He made them man and woman. We can't declare who we are. God makes us this way. We have to set the example. We have to make our foundation firm. We need to be unwavering. If you look at the divorce rate among Christians, it rivals that of the world. Why? Because we think marriage is all about happy land. I wish I could tell you the pre-marriage counseling sessions I've done with people. Why are we getting married? We just love each other. And you try to tell them the honeymoon will come to a close, and you should see how they look at me. You're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Love will keep us together. Now, it does. But I'm sorry, any relationship has highs and lows. If we're honest, my relationship with Jesus Christ, there's times I am walking on sunshine. And there's times, are you there? I mean, come on. Sometimes we come to church, we're amped up. Sometimes you come to church and say, is it over yet? But you hang in and you press on. Our feelings don't come into play in obeying the word of God. Emotions will lie to us, i.e. Jesus in the garden the night before. Father, take this cup from me. Did he want to be tortured and put to death? No. Your will, God, not mine. We have to not be seduced by our culture, our entitlement and self-gratification culture. Oh, we can talk about it. We can look at the news and we can rail about it. But we have to admit, it impacts us. So I have to be careful. I got to die to myself. I can't just live my life for self-gratification. Again, let me say it again. Let your children, let other people see your unwavering faith. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, Joshua writes, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. I love this next sentence. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Being a father, it's sacrificial. Sometimes it's watching many episodes of a show called Paw Patrol. But it's denying ourselves. Our kids need to see we are unwavering in our commitment to Jesus Christ. Let your children see you being humble. Let them see you be teachable, to be corrected. Read Proverbs. See what it says about people that are uncorrectable, calls you a fool. Not me, God did. Be submissive. One of the mightiest things that the Lord did when I first got saved, Melody and I, was to teach me to be submitted to somebody. It doesn't mean I'm being babysat. It doesn't mean that I'm being controlled, because you got to realize my background before the Lord was I was a rebel. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the reputation I had with people. I remember my senior year, I'm the co-captain of the Morrisville Eaton varsity baseball team. Till the game, I showed up with my shirt kind of unbuttoned. I had something underneath it. I had necklaces. I had long hair. And I knew a friend from the other team. He goes, well, after the game, my coach said, yeah, we're only going to have one captain, and it ain't him. Because I enjoyed being the rebel. But then God got a hold of me. And I remember we're going to Gospel Outreach, which is now New Covenant, and they did this thing where Paul Wagner said, okay, if you live over here, Peter Mayer's going to oversee you. If you live over here, Bill Moody's going to, and I can't remember who else was there. So Pete and Sue come to visit us, and I didn't like it. I'm thinking, I don't need to be babysat. So they come, and we have this conversation. The Holy Spirit did something in us. I'm protecting you. I'm watching out for you. Parents, don't let your young kids make mistakes. Don't let them choose things that are drastically going to hurt them. We need to pray that we live in a country where they're letting young people make disastrous mistakes about operations that will absolutely cripple them. Physically and spiritually. God help us for living in a country that condones mutilating children in the name of freedom. The abortion issue is real. We need to pray about that. We need to pray about this evil, which is straight from the gates of hell. Let your children see being submitted isn't a bad thing. Let them see you be repentant. I remember once I messed up big time to my oldest daughter, and I had to apologize. I had an adult say to me, why do you apologize? Because I was messed up to a human being. And I apologized. And I asked her to forgive me. I'm sorry. I want my kids to see that in me. Being a parent isn't easy. It's challenging, but stand strong in the Lord. just as I said, you know, I keep envisioning Cam looking at Chris, my son-in-law, on the phone, and there's many times I gotta admit, for some reason I cry. I want that to be me and God. That I have God and I talk to him and he cares about me. And I spend time with him, and maybe I'm just going for a walk or hanging outside just talking to God, and I don't want to keep my eyes off of him. I just want people to see how much I love the Lord. The last point I'm going to make is be yourself. Mark Twain said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father is so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished by how much he had learned in 7 years. If you are the parent of a teenager, take the words of Dr. James Dobson. Just survive them and you are doing okay." You know, we're going to start next week looking at different spiritual gifts and different gifts, you know. And the point I want to make, the last thing, is be yourself. God has purposefully made you the way you're supposed to be. I come from a family of three boys. Yeah, I've had my hair this way for a long time. Now I kind of need to because it's retreating. My oldest brother has a, my middle brother, who's a lawyer, was the smartest of us and the best athlete. He has a full head of hair. Do you know how much I want to go up and yank it sometime and see if it's real? But I know, that ain't fair, God. Why am I saying that? God made you on purpose. Will you embrace that and accept that I'm who God wants me to be? Like when I was in Copenhagen, you know what the Lord said to me? I've made you a captain of 50. That comes from Exodus, the 18th chapter. Moses listened to his father-in-law, and he appointed some leaders, some to be in charge of 1,000, some 100, some 50, some 10. I did not want to be in charge of 50, but God said to me, "Are you willing to? How about if that's who I made you to be?" But God, the 50, they don't get to smoke and the lights and all this really cool stuff that goes on. But God, are you willing to be who I've called you to be? We need to accept who God made us to be. Oh, I've resisted for a long time. You compare. When you compare, you do one of two things. Either you really feel good because you compare yourself to a schmo, or you feel like a bum because you've... Yeah, because you're the schmo. Thank you. I love the Boston Bruins. In the 70s, they had a center, number 16, Derek Sanderson. I had his poster. I remember we went to Boston, and I had this shirt with his picture on it, and it said, "Derek is unreal," and this man on the street stopped me and goes, "Oh, boy, is he," because he was a partier. And he wrote this book, "I've Got to Be Me." Wow, isn't that cool? He was the first million-dollar athlete. Went homeless. Because he blew it all. Don't think he's a Christian, but then he turned himself around, and he's even one of these. Have you heard of financial planners? He's even one of them now, but anyways. So I guess he turned out okay. So what I'm trying to say is, I used to read that stuff. Man, Rolling Stone was my Bible, and I just wanted to be a rebel. I wanted to do the stuff that I wanted to do the stuff nobody else wanted to do. And God got a hold of me. And I started going to church with a bunch of perfect people, it looked like. And I would go home and I'm thinking, God, are you kidding me? But then the Lord did show me, I love you guys, but you're really not perfect. But God loves us anyways. You know, when I was first a Christian, I'd look at our pastor's name was Paul Wagner. And I knew he could walk on water and he had breakfast with God. Because he was like 9 foot tall. He didn't use a mic because that man could talk loud. He put me in charge of teens once, so after about a year, I knew God was telling me not to do it anymore. So I had to go to his house and meet with him. I can't tell you how scared I was. I was like a 23-year-old kid speaking to God. So they take me down in his office in the basement. I think I had chains on, felt like it. I was scared to death, man. I told Paul, God doesn't want me to do this. He was excited for me and he really blessed me. See, he understood you got to do what God calls you to do. I know it's a hard world we live in today, and I'm not trying to be too hard. I'm just trying to say, let God show you who you are and walk in that. You might look at people that are smarter than you. You might look at people that seem to be more talented than you. God has called you. Linda said it. Come out. Come out. We need one another. When she mentioned that about the binding, what I see that is God is saying to this church, I am calling you forward. I have gifted every one of you. I don't need one from here and one from there. And oh, I'll take one of those. No, I want you all involved and be who God has called you to be. Maybe you're somebody that you love people and you want to talk to everybody in the world. Maybe you're an extrovert, but maybe you're an introvert. That's okay because God made you that way. So the Lord just wants you to be who he has called you to be. And to remember that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, in closing, fathers and men, we have a God-given role. And I don't say this in a hard way, but just a real way. We will be held accountable. I will be held accountable how I was as a father, how I was as a pastor, how I was as a father or husband. So let your children and others see an unwavering faith in Jesus Christ, even when it's not popular, even when you have to make the tough decisions. You need to declare, except, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be yourself. But be the best self you can be, meaning put effort into it. And the last one, let's trust Jesus. Father, we come before you. Lord, I watch the sitcoms and the different shows. And it's not hard to see that in many aspects the role of the male has been diminished. Just like I see in the media, Lord, when we talk about Christians, usually it's not in a good light. Let us stand strong in you, Lord. I pray that everybody in this room, but right now every male would say, Lord, let me serve you. Lord, show everybody the gifts that you've given us, the natural abilities, the passions, Lord, the spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts to different places that you've gifted us, Lord. And let us use that for your good. Let us not downplay the seemingly small things. Like if we see somebody across the room and we just know there's something there, let us have the boldness to just go say, hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm praying for you. Let us know sometimes the seemingly small things you use powerfully, Lord. Oh, Lord, I know that you're under attack. Your truths are under attack in the world today, Lord, but we're going to stand strong. You saw this coming. You're greater than he who's in the world. We're not going to get upset by it. We're not going to run in high. We're not going to scream out on social media. But we're going to say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to put hurting people, deceived people in our midst. We will not act with judgment. We will show them the love that you command us to show them. As I invest my life and we invest our lives in that way with people, the doors for the gospel get opened. Father, let us stand up and be who you have called us to be without wishing we were somebody else. Lord, I don't want to be the 5'2" guard who wants to be center. Let us say thank you, Lord, for who you made me to be. And let us honor and glorify you with our lives. I thank you for the fathers that are here. Pray that you would bless them, Lord God, that you would encourage and strengthen them, Lord. I thank you for the role you have placed them in. And I thank you for the spiritual fathers, which is every male in this place, Lord. We have to pray, who do you want me to mentor, Lord? And let us know, if the Son sets you're free indeed. Bless these awesome people, Lord, in your name. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Have a good day.